Welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. This is the Lockdown Leadership Network series. Today's guest is Del Williams. He's the sales director from JSA. And I got him on board to have a bit of a chat about IR35, what it means, how he could explain it in layman's terms to some of us who aren't quite as au fait in contract recruitment as others. And he was also able to go into a bit of depth as well for those who are more knowledgeable. We had a good chat about some of the solutions, some of the preparations that you can do. And really, it's all about being proactive, getting ahead of this thing and making sure that you're compliant. So really great interview. Thanks so much to Del for coming on. I hope you guys enjoy. Welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. This is the Lockdown Leadership Network series. I'm joined today by our partner, Del Williams from JSA. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. Day two of lockdown?
Yes. I think the first change is I need your hat to disguise the lockdown necessity of shaving our hair, eh?
Yeah. Well, my hair isn't in good shape, so I've discovered the hat these last couple of years. Recruitment hasn't been kind to my stress levels. It's been a wild time. Before I jump into your own background, what's your sense of this lockdown compared to the last one in terms of in the way that your partners are talking to you?
Good question. This time round, there hasn't been a noticeable change at the moment. I know we're only day two into it. However, I think the recruitment agencies that we deal with, all of our partners, they adjusted really well during the initial lockdown and the work from home stage throughout the summer. And I think what we're seeing now is just a simple continuation of the new norm. Mm. I do think that whereby recruiters have seen that people are still, you know, proactive and productive at home. There was a sense that not everyone went back in, on the normal full-time, you know, being at the desk and making lots of phone calls at that particular desk. So where people are working from home, consultants have been very, very good at their job while doing that. I think that's reflective in the last few days.
And being a sales leader yourself, how large a team are you running in your business, and what's that transition been like for you guys?
Yeah, interesting question. We made a decision at the beginning of this furlough scenario and working from home. JSA have got around 20 business development and field sales operatives, and we made a decision quite quickly to keep them all on. And to not furlough any of those guys. So therefore we could have that partnership with the agencies and, you know, have that continuation of sale and make sure that JSA were always there. I know some of our competitors also went down that route, but some put their guys on furlough, but we made the decision to keep everyone in. Mm. And internally, we've got a very large inbound team who talk to the contractors and sign those guys up onto our services. And we just had to make allowances for those guys to work from home. But as a business, the front end, we tended to keep active and proactive throughout the summer.
And for any of the startups that don't know a lot about contract recruitment, could I just dumb this down a little bit, even for myself, because I come from mainly a permanent recruitment background. What is it your company does in relation to working with recruitment firms?
Essentially, or primary, everything to do with payroll for those contractors. So as and when a recruitment business places a contractor into an end client, we'll take over all of the necessary payroll solution or facilitations of getting that person paid at the end of every week or at the end of every month. As a group, JSA payroll up to 15,000 people on a weekly and monthly basis. So it's more to take away all of the payroll or workforce contingency administration, I guess, from recruitment companies, so they can crack on and place people and carry on sourcing the right types of candidates for those particular contract roles, and JSA step in and ensure that the contractors are paid on time.
So you hold the liability and the debt in return for a margin?
Essentially, yeah. We make sure that we receive funds, for instance, from either the end client or nine times out of 10, the recruitment business. Yeah. We employ that particular contractor to ensure the contractor has employment rights and benefits. Mm-hmm. And we ensure that the correct taxes are collected and passed on to HMRC.
That sounds like a lot. I'd not like to be doing that as a small business for myself. What percentage would you say, do most people use you or one of your competitors when they're running their contractors?
Yeah, I would suggest that's the norm in our field. So we've got there's hundreds of umbrella companies out there. There's some very, very good ones, of course. So we've got a sort of like, I would say 10 to 20 very large umbrella companies in our market space. Most recruitment companies would essentially have a preferred or approved list of those umbrella companies. And as a business, around 90 to 95% of all of our contractors would have come via the recruitment company that they're working through.
Okay, interesting. And I suppose to get one up on your competitors, then you need to be more solution orientated in what you're delivering to recruitment firms. It probably leads me into asking a little bit about the shambles that is Brexit and IR35. So when I feel like both topics have been dragging for a while. What was your initial strategy, and has that changed in recent times as things seem to change all the time?
Yeah, I think Brexit's an easier one for payroll companies, I guess, to deal with, in the sense that it's a consequence from the recruitment businesses. So recruitment companies will feel Brexit or see the impact a lot more than the payroll, because essentially we would just see the either increase or decrease probably on the volume of contractors coming through to us because of the changes for Brexit. But as a payroll organization, there's certain areas such as visas, right to work, and the intricacies of onboarding a particular contract, if they've got anything to do with a foreign end client, that might be a slight change for us or a hurdle. But as a challenge, it would probably be down to volume. And as an example, financial services, they'll probably be impacted a lot more than education for us. So therefore, we just have to adjust accordingly and work with those particular specialists in the recruitment area of finance, as an example, to ensure that as and when the contractors are being onboarded through us as a payroll option, there's consistency and there's an extension of the service that particular recruitment companies offer to the end client and to that contractor. But yeah, Brexit's a fairly simple one for us, other than the downside is, if we speak to recruitment companies and ask where volume is or the anticipated amount of contractors coming through to us, over the last year or two, there's always been that uncertainty around Brexit. And sometimes that's challenged budgets and it's challenged end clients to go off and source some really good contractors. And that's obviously affected the volume relationship with that recruitment company.
I think we probably share a lot of clients. And we've done lots of deals with XS3 owners who are scaling. And the one thing that seems to be clear is that since Brexit, there is a pivot towards trying to build an EU contract business. Mm-hmm. When they come to you with that, do you have the facility for that, or do you have to use a partner to integrate to make that happen?
Yeah, international payroll is a lot more complicated than just your standard UK payroll. So there aren't a lot of specialists for international payroll out there. So we work with one or two companies, but it's certainly something that JSA Group's looking into a lot more. And it will definitely be on the horizon over the next 6 to 12 months with our group. At the moment, the bigger questions are, you know, do we have someone that we could obviously refer that particular recruitment company to? But also on the flip side, it's the currency as well. So we're getting more and more requests at the moment, yeah. I guess, with regards to how is it going to work if someone's paid in euros, or how is it going to work if there is a particular exchange rate at the time, or whatever it might be. So they're the nuances around currency and around international workers that we're probably getting a few questions on now, leading up to the end of this year. And then I think, you know, throughout next year, the international market's something that's probably going to raise some more questions and raise some more opportunities for everyone.
It's a like I'm asking because this is the questions that are going off in the group right now. Like if the guy's based in Germany, or if the job's based in Germany, but he's now in Spain, we're in the UK.
Yep.
What do we do? Like the whole world is like it's. I feel like the complexity of where people live to where people work to where the business is registered has got very mangled since lockdown. So I'm it must present you with the challenge to go, okay, how can I steer into this to create a solution that's a one-stop shop for us?
And again, because of various countries having various tax rules and various demands on payroll, you know, 3 years ago, it wasn't simple. It's super complicated, but there is an argument to suggest that if you just looked at it very black and white, you could just suggest that, okay, you go off and you look at an accountancy firm in Spain, and you franchise out almost this JSA group ethos, and you buy an accountancy firm or you partner with an accountancy firm in that particular country, and you essentially franchise out. I think that's going to be much more difficult post Brexit. So I think there's going to have to be a smarter solution, and international payroll is going to just be a slightly more complex in an already super complex industry. Yeah. So I think there's, you know, the partnerships that people will have when it comes to international payroll, it's going to be super important for them to make sure that they've got the right people that can deliver the service as well as ensuring all the compliancy as well.
I know for a fact the only thing that'll matter to the agency owner is that they have one throat to choke.
Yeah.
That's all, you know, that the last thing that they like that they would want is, okay, well, why don't you call our partner in this country, and then you can like you do that to somebody and they're out of there.
Exactly. So again, you know, and the great news for us as a business is because of the extent of and the size of our business, I think that's where we could bottleneck quite handily in comparison to some of you know, the more independent international guys. So as and when we're looking at that, that's definitely something that's going to be part and parcel of the solution that more than likely we'll offer at some point.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. Explain IR 35 to me in 30 seconds in layman's terms.
Okay. So essentially, IR 35 is the way someone would be paid if working for a limited company. And it's a decision that someone has to make at the moment as a contractor, whether they're outside IR 35, which essentially says I'm genuinely self-employed and therefore I want to get taxed that way. Contractor decides that at the moment, give or take public sector changes a couple of years ago. Contractor decides it. However, from April, everyone within this chain is fundamentally going to have to get involved. So an end client, 9 times out of 10 now, will have to be aware of the limited company worker, whether that person should work inside or outside. They'll determine it. And then as a recruiter, if they're involved in that chain and they're classed as something called a fee payer, they'll be legally responsible to ensure the correct tax is collected. So IR 35 is essentially, are you self-employed or not? And can you prove it? Are you disguised? And that's the test to show whether someone is genuine.
All right. All of that went over my head. But if I have contractors and I've got a problem with this, how can you solve it for me? Because I don't really want to worry about all of that. Like, is there any one-stop solution? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on here?
So again, over the last, IR35 is the biggest topic for yeah. payroll and for recruiters probably until probably May, June time next year, I would have thought. So on the agenda should be some preparation when it comes to IR35 for every single recruiter out there. So first things first, understand what it is. Lots and lots of marketing material out there. Obviously, JSA have got an IR35 hub on our website to deliver a lot of information, a lot of key information, a lot better than a 30-second rant from Dale Williams.
It's good, though.
No, we'll get there. I've only been doing it for 12 years, so hopefully we should be all right. Yeah. So there's lots and lots of information out there from us and our competitors. Really, really good stuff for people to get educated on. They then need to start speaking to end clients. Recruiters definitely need to engage. It's a, you know, being a salesperson, it's a great sales opportunity to pick up the phone, reach out to the end clients, see how they're getting on, what their requirements will be over the next 6 months, but also talk about IR35 and ensure that that conversation is going ahead. Through an acquisition at the beginning of the year, we acquired a different umbrella company, built it into our group. They had a very, very good tool or solution that was sold into a lot of recruitment companies who started using that particular workflow in order to liaise with end clients, go through a workflow in order to assess every single job role. Mm-hmm. To decide whether that was inside or outside IR35 in a much more comprehensive way than a finger in the air job or one of these blanket ban decisions that obviously we should avoid.
It sounds a bit like blockchain.
Well, we've developed something, you know, that it's now moved on to sort of like our version 2, as I call it. Yeah. It's a software solution that's cloud-based. The platform's very, very good. It looks user-friendly in the sense that I can use it quite easily and I can navigate through the profile of it and the workflow systems of it.
Are you the dummy test for this stuff?
Yeah, I think JSA looked at making one of these yellow books.
Is it Dell proof?
IR35 complete test for dummies, and then it just had a picture of me. So we've got this solution. We're now talking to lots and lots of different recruitment companies about, you know, using that as an integral part of their IR35 plan moving forward. But you know, going back to competitors, and you know, that's definitely something that we've seen, and it's really, really useful, and it's really encouraging for our industry that the payroll companies and some insurers out there as well have started to get into offering solutions to recruitment companies in order to help and assist the IR35 reform and navigating their way through. Obviously, you know, I work for JSA and we looked at round tables and we looked at some of our competitors' solutions and we've done our best to ensure that, you know, we're certainly one of the leaders within the marketplace when we're offering those. So it's exciting times for us in the sense that we're also moving away a little bit more from the payroll option in the sense of that's our primary role, but also now we're offering some further solutions into recruitment companies to help navigate legislation, which is really, really interesting and a great opportunity for us to all get involved together.
Lovely. Let me just steer into that, their product, just so we're clear. Mm-hmm. So depending on the size of the company, either somebody in compliance or the actual recruiter themselves logs in, and then walk me through what that looks like, just so we're
Really, really simple steps. So the recruitment company hold the platform. Mm-hmm. They'll instigate their request for the determination. So their consultant or the compliance team, whoever's going to be responsible for this within the recruitment agency, they'll prompt a determination request via the platform. The platform would then essentially spit out a request and send it to the end client, whoever that nominated person is at the client. The end client then completes via the platform the assessment request. So they'll go through a number of questions in order to determine whether someone is genuinely inside or outside IR35. At the end of that request scenario, they'll submit it and it goes back to the recruitment agency. And the recruitment agency are then notified to suggest the end client has assessed the role, and this role is inside IR35, or this role is outside IR35. Agency then own that particular assessment. Mm-hmm. They would then either be able to have the facility to go back to the end client and maybe speak about that, because if it's inside and they feel that, you know, the skilled workforce or the end client might lose out on a few very, very good candidates for that particular role based on that assessment, they can then engage, they can talk, they can see whether there are workarounds with regards to the contract and working circumstances, whereby if they reassess it, they might get a different outcome. But ultimately, it is what it is. It's inside or outside IR35. Agency hold on to that determination, and then they link it to a worker, so they can then add in the contractor to that particular determination, press submit, and the chain then spits out an email to the contractor. Contractor goes onto the platform. They'll review the assessment. They'll understand they're inside IR35, or they'll understand they're outside IR35. And the great news for our tool as well is it's able to accommodate, as you mentioned before, the relationships that recruitment companies have with payroll providers. So it's able to accommodate the PSL or the ASL of the recruitment company. So if someone is inside IR35, they'll be prompted to suggest this agency works with these four payroll providers. Who would you like to basically find out some information about? And they can then select one of the options. Obviously, you know, we like the idea of JSA being one of those options at all times. Mm-hmm. But understandably, recruitment companies don't just use us. They do have choice, and they want to offer that choice to contractors. So again, by offering all of that, we can hopefully close the whole circuit of IR35. So it's determined. Yeah. It's easily audited. There's a workforce management system to look at it. And ultimately, the contractor understands their position and understands they need to get paid.
Okay. I'm crystal clear on all of that. Leads me to a kind of final question, which we might kind of jump into for a little bit. It's in the recruiter's interest and in the contractor's interest in most cases for that person to be determined a contractor, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be determined outside IR35.
Outside, yeah. What's the workaround? How can we make this happen? What are the pitfalls?
The pitfalls are if it's a workaround just for the sake of being a workaround in order to get that outside determination, that's obviously not a good thing to do, which is why some planning needs to go into it. This change is happening at the beginning of April. Mm-hmm. So we've got 3 or 4 months to be prepared for this before people start getting paid in the right way. So I would suggest the workaround is to assess your current workforce as an agency. Look at who's working through their own PSC, limited company. Speak to those end clients to see whether that person is able to continue working through their own limited company post-April. An end client might use a different solution, or they might use CEST, which is the HMRC online assessment tool, which is fine. But and again, our tool can incorporate any other determinations for an audit purpose. But very, very quickly, recruitment companies should be speaking to end clients to assess the current workforce, because the pitfall would be if they've got some really, really good contractors working at their offices and within their firms and businesses. And then all of a sudden they make this uneducated decision to change people over to an inside determination because the end client feels that that's the zero risk and we don't want to be involved in any of this. And we sometimes can't, you know, don't have the resource or don't understand that. So the end client needs to be aware that obviously they should be assessing, you know, correctly. And if, for instance, they're inside determinations, we've still got time here to look at the contract, to look at the working circumstances, for the recruiter to speak to the end client and say, if we made some small changes or if we made a large fundamental change, all of a sudden, this person will be outside IR35. and they'll be able to continue working in exactly the same way that they're working now. But it's very, very important. If we make that change on a contract, or we suggest that's going to be a change in their working circumstances, that's actually what happens. But this is why, Mr. and Client, this is why it's going to be a good thing for us to do this. Happier person. Contract continues working in that particular role. They can still maintain their limited company and take home, ultimately, the money that they're used to taking home. We don't have to look into rates that we're currently paying out, or changing people over to umbrella companies if that's going to harm them with regards to take home, especially in the environment we're in. However, on the flip side, you know, we do understand that there are going to be a lot of people that move from an outside determination to an inside determination. So it's very, very important for recruitment companies to also assess that, to look at volume. And it's not inconceivable to all of a sudden have people like JSA and our other larger competitors all of a sudden receiving 4,000 or 5,000 incoming phone calls over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, with contractors desperate to understand how an umbrella company works.
Yeah.
So if we leave that until March the 20th or 21st, I think everyone's going to be in a bit of a problem. Yeah. So try and get prepared and, you know, speak to umbrella companies in January.
All right. IR35 for dummies. We are done. Thank you so much, Del. I didn't think I could ever get to grips with this, but I have. Really appreciate your time. We'll get you back on again.
Great to see you. Enjoy lockdown.
Right.